So you need an adapter for pretty much everything, and it's so annoying because on this laptop, I can't use my mic. Oh, yeah, because
you don't have USB.
Yes, and then I get this $30 adapter that I lose every other day, so then I can't use my USB drive, I can't use my microphone, so we end up in a situation like this. And then I lost my dongle, and I had to go to Best Buy yesterday, and now you can't even go in that Best Buy. You need a order online, and then you do a curbside pickup.
That's wild.
So this is what we're dealing with. I think it's pretty cool that a lot of businesses are changing the way they do things to stay open, and I can get takeout at pretty much any restaurant I want. So that's where we are. How is things in Shelburne Falls?
It's interesting out here. Obviously, there isn't a whole lot going on anyways, but it's like completely dead. The grocery stores are like empty for the first time, because normally even when stuff goes like real crazy, I don't see it here. Like, you know, when like people are like stocking up for snowstorms and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't normally see that out here because like we're in the woods, so it snows a bunch. Like it's like different. But now it's like my brother went grocery shopping earlier and came back and he was like, there's not a lot there. So it's like stuff like that's a little bit different. It's like normally big stuff doesn't, you don't necessarily feel the effect or feel the reach of it out here, but something like this obviously is global, is worldwide. It's interesting just seeing it actually touch home.
I felt pretty goofy getting like a month's worth of groceries yesterday. And yeah, we had to wait in a line to get into the store and all that stuff. But every single day, things just creep in a little bit more. Like today we found out the Olympics are going to be postponed. Massachusetts banned all non-essential business. So that pretty much shut down everything that wasn't already, besides groceries, gas stations, that kind of thing. So every single day there's an update that seems to indicate that this is going in a pretty bad direction. And then the studies that say it could be 18 months in multiple waves, which I can't even imagine how that would work, because you'll have a period where people are going outside again and then they'll have to go inside again. I have such a hard time imagining an end game for this in general. Never mind sports. Sports just seem to be on the burner until we can figure out what real life is going to be like again.
Yeah, no, I mean, you're 100% right. Like, I just got off my first online class.
And that's so goofy.
It's just a whole different, it's like you said, it's interesting to see how businesses have changed their models and how they're doing things, but it's also, it's interesting just to see how everything is changing and understanding that a lot of the change and improvement we were told for so long wasn't possible because there wasn't time, and it's, you know, it can't go that way, and who's going to pay for it? It showed you that like there has been a ton of room for improvement and a ton of room for change in so many different areas, and all the change was possible. It's just, it took something like this to make people actually get after it and pull the trigger on some decisions.
For sure. We're all getting $1,000. You ready for that? I don't think you are, actually. Wait. No, you work a ton during the summer, so you definitely are.
Yeah, I am an adult.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So you're gonna, what are you gonna do with it?
I'm gonna be waiting for a hospital bed in the Summit White Sakai Nikes. And that's just how it's gonna be.
I asked, I won't name who I asked, but I asked one of our friends how much, and marijuana has been deemed essential business. So I said, if I was going to spend all $1,000 on weed, which I'm not going to, but if I did, I was wondering how much I could get. Half pound.
Hey, I plead the fifth. I'm not talking about this.
Oh my God. I just had to ask, you know, I don't know any of the measurements. I don't know any of the stuff. So I had to ask, and there's my
answer.
Neither do I. So it's Music Monday. One of the things we don't lose in all of this is streaming music releases. We've had a few: The Weeknd, Childish Gambino, Jay Electronica released his first album. So I'm going to talk to Jamel Smith, as I do every Monday here. You know, working with your dad, everything you've been doing on that end, how has this changed your plan on that end? Like, how have you guys had to adjust to not having access to the outside world, the stores or studios? Like, what's the limitations been for you, and what are some of the avenues you've explored to solve what's going on?
Yeah, so, I mean, I think this is the case with a lot of artists right now that are dropping music. We have an album that's dropping next month. So we don't anticipate, like, this whole quarantine to be over by that time. So it's definitely changed a lot of things. A lot of the appearances that we would be having or that he would be having, we can no longer do, because that's the whole thing with that. So we're just trying to find other ways, especially capitalizing on digital spaces, social media, trying to make sure that we are still present and that we, you know, let people know that there is still a project coming out, because, you know, I think with all artists, it's not like we can push back the release date. So it's like whatever release date you have, you got to keep it. You got to make sure that you have a successful album release, even though technically there's no way of getting to the people. So it's been interesting, but, you know, we're figuring it out, and there are calls every single day trying to, like, figure out what we're gonna do, but it's working.
It's funny, yeah, we've complained so much about the new distribution methods, whether it's streaming or online in general, but this really saves music right now. Like, think about if we had, like, the Target, Walmart rollouts of, like, 10, 20 years ago, those would all be done.
Oh,
like,
God.
Releases. And and think of how hard releases used to be. Like, you can kind of, not easily, but kick back release dates if you need to, if some of the promotion gets screwed up now.
And
if you have your promotion ready to go, videos, blah, 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 then you can just send it out, and there's probably going to be a bigger audience to listen to right away, because everybody's home. Like, streaming is just going to go through the roof the next few months.
For sure.
What kind of promotion did you have planned for it? Did that get screwed up at all?
So, like, we had a lot of in-person contacts between, like, radio and doing, like, listening sessions and performances. We had all that stuff, like, lined up through April going into May. So all of that stuff had to be pushed back, you know, to later months, hopefully in the summer. Like, every venue reached out to me, like, on the same day. It was like, you know, we have to reschedule, we have to postpone, but we'll keep you, you know, abreast to, like, any different, you know, any changes within our venue. So all of that just came to me at once. So it's kind of like having to juggle, okay, so what do we do in place of this? Does it really make a difference? Like you said, now people can just put out music and content online and, you know, to a large group of people. So does it really make a difference whether or not we're in person? I mean, I think that's objective, but we're definitely trying to make sure that we cover all of our bases, even though that physical in-person contact is kind of out of the question right now. So
it makes me think of what we saw this week. DJ D-Nice and the event he had.
Yes.
You were part of it, right? You were following along. I didn't end up getting into it, but I saw you tweeting it. I saw a ton of people live tweeting this, and there were thousands and thousands of people that included J-Lo, Drake, Naomi Campbell, Diddy, Mary J. Blige, DJ Khaled, T.I., Queen Latifah, and I know one Michelle Obama stopped in.
Yes.
I mean, this was as much of an example as anything that we're in a cultural moment right now. Like, how is culture, society going to respond to this? And now we already have this moment where this guy, I'd never heard of him before. I don't know if you had, but he had one of the biggest events, period. It doesn't matter if it was one of the internet or where, but, like, this is the most star power that there's ever been at any event I feel like, you know, forget Coachella, all these other events you have. Like, this was next level. And I, like, how did this come together?
Right. So I've read something about it. Like, he started it, like, 5 days ago, and no one really knew about it. I think he started with, like, 3,000 people in the party. And just over time, like, I guess consistency, and he's actually really well known in the hip hop community. Like, he is very well known in that community. But to see him evolve into, like, this space now to, like, being the world's DJ, you know, pretty much, like you said, everybody that was in there, and then you had Joe Biden come in, and then you had Bernie Sanders come in. Like, there were all of these different, exactly, like, there were all, Ellen was there, like, there were all these different types of people. And even saying that, you know, such and so forth person was there is kind of like hilarious because we're all online. But, you know, I was a part of the stream. I was there when it reached over to 100,000, I'm sorry, people in one live, in one Instagram live. And I was like, yo, this is crazy. Like, you feel, it feels good, but you feel like some type of cultural history is being made. Like, weirdly enough, you do. So he's back today, and I've been going on like every now and again. And I think now he's like at 145,000 people in one stream. So it's incredible. Yeah, I think, you know, it speaks to how we are responding to this whole weird coronavirus pandemic thing. And using music to do so, to bring everybody together in a digital space, is really interesting to me. So
people knew what they had to do, and this all came together so fast.
Yeah, for sure.
We're less than a week for removed, sure. And this guy knew how to respond. I guess he was part of Boogie Down Productions. So, I mean, I just don't have the you know, history there with KRS-One and DJ Scott Lil Rock. Yeah, so I got to look back into that group, and I'm going to be watching a lot more hip-hop documentaries going back into that era and stuff like that. But people knew what they needed to do. Like basketball, everybody's hungry to start seeing the players stream and playing 2K. And De'Aaron Fox was actually like, you know, we're not going to be doing that. I hate that game. So that must be what's holding up that people don't like the game. But this was just awesome to see. We have the means. Streaming has gone through the roof, whether it's Zoom for classes. I don't know how classes are going to go with people going back to school. I'm glad I'm not doing that, because that just sounds like a disaster waiting to happen. Like, I got out of school just in time to avoid that, thank God. So this was an awesome story already one weekend. Like, we have charities going around trying to help people out. It's been like a pretty good response so far by society. And of course, we're just in week one. Sure. By week four or five, everyone might be losing their minds and doing crazy things. So far, so we'll good.
So far, so good,
I put together a playlist that I want to get into, my first quarantine playlist. I'm going to try and be rolling these out every week. Looking into some
nice, you know,
music from the past, present. Knowledge is on streaming, which I'm really excited about. Like, his whole catalog of remixes is out there now on streaming, so I've been listening to all of that.
Dope.
And Childish Gambino. We're not going to get into this week, but in coming weeks, I can't wait to absorb this album. No promotion, no song titles. But Apple Music's backing it, and that might just be something Apple Music does, is try to hype up their own streaming by saying, like, oh, this big album's out there. But not a lot of promotion whatsoever from this, and very rough, very ragged, longer ideas that are really spread out, and just some interesting concepts. I don't know how much you've listened to. It's definitely too soon to dive too deep into this, but what do you make of him at this point in his career? I don't think anyone knew if he was going to have music period coming with the TV work and movie work he's been doing, but lots of material here. Was it just him trying to get stuff out there? That might be what it is to me.
I think so as well. I know that he had one more album when I was working at Sony. I know that was going around the office that he had one more album to do.
Is he a Sony guy?
To do it, yeah, he is. I forgot, like, what I want to say, like RCA maybe or Columbia. One of those. He's signed to. So yeah, on that front, I agree that I think it was just something that he wanted to put out. But I've listened to it at this point maybe like 5 times. I know that he had a live stream of it last week.
Yeah, and it got pulled back.
But I actually think that was, exactly, I think that was like botched. I don't think that was supposed to happen. So yeah, he released it today, and pretty much all the same songs are on there. But yeah, I absolutely love the project. Like, I say this, and when I tell people that, I only really came in to Childish Gambino like around the Awaken My Love era. And I really love his singing. I really love what he does, like, musically with the whole 70s funk soul era. Like, I think he is incredibly talented, especially when it comes to that sound. And I think that, you know, this project is just a continuation. But he actually pushed the envelope, like, some futuristic experimentation. Like, he really pushed the envelope when exploring sounds, like, especially on this album. So, you know, I appreciate the album. I mean, I'm always down for new music, especially when it's from someone as interesting as Childish Gambino. So I had no issue with it.
Three things stuck out to me. It feels like his Yeezus in a way. Like the promotion. Yes.
Oh, that, okay, yeah.
You know, not a lot of cover art there, not a lot of...
Right.
You know, it was a lot of ideas, really, more than an album. And it was something that didn't come together all that well, but there were a lot of interesting moments in there.
Right.
The fourth track with 21 Savage, either the third or the fourth track, is something I'm going to be thinking a lot about the next few weeks, because it almost felt like a TV script more than a song. Just him having like different conversations with different people, and then like 21 Savage making like a cameo at the end. Like that's what it sounded like to me. There wasn't a whole lot of singing or rapping or anything on there. It was a lot of talking and voices. So that stuck out to me quite a bit. And there were features in there. There was a lot of sounds, as you talked about, more than his performance being at the forefront. It was a very interesting album, and I can't wait to dig into it more and more. And I'm glad he's still involved in music, because I don't think anyone was saying he was going to be focused on that all that much with how much he's done. I mean, he's been in Lion King now. People are going to be itching for Atlanta soon. I mean, he's putting himself in all these different spaces. That there's going to be like five or six groups waiting for the next big thing in different mediums.
Yeah, I think that's what makes him so interesting. So, you know, just being in film and TV and music, and at each level kind of operating at a very high, you know, high level, is, I think that's awesome. So I'm a part of his team for sure.
So this is my playlist here. I was supposed to go see Thundercat yesterday. We're recording this on Sunday, and he put out an album today, right? I haven't heard that one. I heard the Mac Miller tribute, but I haven't heard the album yet. I actually didn't get Mac Miller's two new songs in there, but he was all over all of those. So my next playlist that comes out, there's going to be a lot of Thundercat. There was some Mac Miller in here, Blue Side Park. But I'll start off at the top. 10%, Caliuchis. I mean, she's been on fire. But I feel like she didn't get enough credit for the song. It's K-Tronada's song, but I don't feel like she gets enough credit. She puts her voice in all these different places, whether it's Tyler, the Creator's album, different features she's done, and now this, a huge, huge song. But I feel like she as an artist still isn't getting enough credit for her voice. Like, it almost feels like it's kind of just an unnamed voice floating around.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm actually a big fan of Caliuchis. Like, even the stuff that she's done on her own is really great, actually. So that does strike me as interesting, like, as to why she doesn't have enough or have a lot of steam when it comes to mainstream R&B. But yeah, she's definitely on fire, especially from her feature. She's incredible. So yeah, that's a great choice.
This is someone else who's on fire. Megan Thee Stallion just put out Sugar, which was like a seven song EP. She has Savage going around the internet as this dance challenge that a lot of people are doing. It's a great dance. But she had a feature on Phony People's album, Effing Around. I'll keep it clean in front of my mom.
Yes.
Here.
Yes. Very nice.
That was a great moment for her too. Everyone's probably heard Savage, and I have that on here too. But that feature on the Phony People album is another funky 70s inspired moment, and that group is very inspired by that soundscape. But I felt that on the K-Tronada track too. That sound, funk, the very like rhythmic sounds from the 70s are still floating around like crazy, and that's something Cali herself has really like made her mark around.
Even with even the Doja Cat, I don't know if you've heard.
Yes, that's so. Right. Yeah, that song like too.
The 70s are definitely back for sure. So, you know, I think it speaks to like the timelessness of that sound. So everybody is trying to capitalize on it, and I am grateful because I think that's a great era of music. So, yeah. So,
Knowledge gets all his songs back on streaming here, which is interesting to me because he does these vignettes, remixes almost, where he puts his beats over old songs. And I don't know how he got all this stuff cleared, but he put albums and albums and albums of stuff, whether it was Meek Mill. I mean, he had like five albums of Meek Mill remixes that are all on streaming now. And, you know, I look at Drake, like he has some huge artists that he's remixed and it's all on streaming now. So I hope it stays there. I hope it's all cleared, but it's all up on streaming now.
Yeah.
He has a new album from Stone's Throw, probably going to be another beat tape coming March 23rd. And now he's teasing a second No Worries album with Anderson .Paak on Instagram. So he's been active.
Nice.
His stuff's out there and readily available for people. He was going the Bandcamp road and trying to sell his albums for like $15-$20, which, you know, respect, but that's a tough thing to do. And I think now he's starting to turn more toward that streaming side. And his stuff is all up there. I have quite a few beats of his on here. He's awesome. His stuff is unmatched, really. There's a lot of Madlib to it. And I have some Madlib on here too. I'm actually writing about Madlib and Freddie Gibbs, but inspired by Madlib, inspired by J Dilla. If you like those beats, I mean, this guy's for you. And you know, I discovered him through that Anderson .Paak outlet, and I'm so happy I've dove into all his work because he is by far my favorite producer right now.
Oh, that's dope. Yeah, I'm excited for a new No Worries album. It's past time, so yeah, I'm excited about that.
I got my boo on there. Remember the Running Man challenge? I mean, we've had so many challenges over the years. And, like Kyrie.
I know. Yeah.
Kyrie is like public enemy number one in Boston right now. And there's not a lot of love to go around for him after leaving Boston for Brooklyn and burning bridges on the way out. But I got to say, he had the best Running Man ever. Do you remember his back when he was with LeBron and the Cavaliers there in the practice facility? I mean, his Running Man was A+. And this song, I went back and listened to it, and it's an amazing song, too. My Boo. I don't know the artist who originally did it, but this was the remix that ended up making the rounds a couple years ago. So I got that on there. Best challenge ever, I say. I there's been a lot of them. I'd have to go back and look at all of them, but that was my favorite.
Yeah, for sure. That's cool. I didn't really get into, like, the Running Man challenge or any of the challenges, really. Like, there's so many out right now, especially with TikTok. Like, there's a dance every other day happening. So
TikTok,
I'm like, more of like the Soulja Boy.
TikTok was born out of the music challenge, it almost feels like.
For sure. Yeah like, absolutely. And going back to like your point of with Megan Thee Stallion and Savage, I think, like, it's really interesting. TikTok is, especially now, TikTok is being used to, like, promote songs and promote albums. So that's pretty awesome. It also speaks to how, like, you know, digital spaces really support, you know, the current landscape of music, and music business and, you know, all that stuff. So that's really cool to see.
Yeah, you almost have to tailor make at least one song on your album to TikTok. And we've heard it. Like, no one loved that Chance album, I don't think. I definitely didn't.
Oh, no.
But that album, there were so many moments on there with, like, those beat drops and the moments that you hear them within the songs, especially Hot Shower there. Like, those songs are ready made to go on TikTok and become challenges, which is, in part, if you go too hard in that direction, I feel like that's where people start to have a distaste, and it feels like you're kind of just piecing together music to fit, like, a script. And that's where that album kind of fell short, I feel like, in among many other reasons. But that album, more than any, I felt like was really pushed to get on TikTok and become a thing. I'm trying to see. TikTok's owned by some Chinese company. So, I mean, they're not like in that Facebook, Twitter sphere, any of the American social medias. This is a company that's born out of the Chinese economy. And now it's making as big waves here as any of the other American social media companies that were at the forefront.
So maybe it's Tencent. I'm pretty sure it's Tencent. Maybe I have to look it up, but yeah, Tencent is definitely, I know, like, from being in the music business program, like, they definitely spoke a lot about Tencent and them acquiring different businesses to get into that market. Like, you know, I had with Vine and Instagram and all the other social media platforms. So it's probably Tencent. But yeah, that's cool.
Let's see. I got John Legend and the Roots on here. A couple Spanish language songs. Erykah Badu. I've been listening to a ton of Erykah Badu. Not only because of the parallels between her and Ari Lennox, but there's just tons and tons of songs. Erykah Badu almost had one of the most underrated careers. And it's not over yet. She's still making music, but she's sort of on the fringes doing some other stuff. I think she just launched like a whole store of fragrances and different stuff on her website. But
yes.
Yeah, just Google that.
Yeah, that exactly. Yeah,
anyway, her catalog is amazing. I feel like one of the most underrated catalogs ever.
Yes.
You're big on that era of music in general when it comes to D'Angelo and that whole era of R&B. A lot of that sound has died out and it pops up here or there, but her, especially with Ari Lennox, still lives on, still has a very strong resonance and one of the more powerful voices in that whole neo-soul movement.
For sure. Like, I'm a huge fan of, like, the Soulquarians era, like, with Questlove, The Roots, and D'Angelo, and Common, and Erykah Badu. Like, she's incredible. I actually got the opportunity to see her live.
Oh, well, that's great.
Maybe, like, 3 years ago at the Meadows in New York, and she was incredible, man. Like, she's amazing. So
I saw the Meadows my freshman year, like, probably 3 weeks into my college experience, and I got down there and saw Chance after Coloring Book, or it might have been it was after Coloring Book. Mac Miller, which, like, thank God, right?
Wow, yeah, for sure.
Kanye was the headliner. I'm trying to think. Bryson Tiller was there. There was a couple others, so it was a great lineup. And Kanye, like. The crowd for that was just insane. Miles and miles back. We were somewhere in the middle. This was after The Life of Pablo, so it was like that floating stage set.
Yeah, I was just about to ask.
And this was the night that Kim Kardashian got robbed in Paris, I want to say. So it's the middle of Heartless.
Okay.
And the song's just kind of ringing along in the background, and you see someone come out to the stage and just whisper something to him, and he says, I got a family emergency. I got to leave. And he drops the mic and leaves halfway through the set. And he's gone.
Wow.
Like, everyone's just standing there like, what just happened? Like, everyone's still standing there wondering if he's going to come back, if he's just doing some sort of Kanye thing. And about like five minutes pass, and the director of the show or whatever comes out and is like, you know, we're trying to figure out what's going on. Everybody stay calm. And then like 2 minutes pass and he's like, Kanye's gone. Good night.
Oh, wow.
So he was out of there. I'm glad I got to see Kanye, but it definitely wasn't the complete experience that everyone paid for that night. And then we obviously learned what happened after. Yeah. So that was a crazy thing to be a part of.
Wow. Yeah. Jay-Z was the headliner my year. And
that's awesome.
Well, the year that I went. So it was really cool, but it definitely was not as dramatic as, you know, a Kanye show. So, that's crazy.
I have two notes there. One, Jay-Z was just part of a big album. There's another song that I have on the playlist here. The Jay Electronica album finally came. And
yes.
You know, we're talking about Erykah Badu. Did you know she had a kid with Jay Electronica?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
I think her first one was with
Andre 3000.
She's had a kid with Andre 3000, Jay Electronica, and DOC. So all rappers. DOC of NWA. So she is
and she was with Common for a long time
definitely.
Too.
Yeah, for sure. So
yeah, that was something I did not know.
Someone has a type, but
So 43 years old, I believe. This is his first studio album, Jay Electronica, and you know, it's weird to think of him, but age wise, he's a contemporary of Jay-Z. But Jay-Z has 20 albums in the bag or so, and this is Jay's first. We waited 10 years after he got signed to Rock Nation. We've had a little bit more time to consume this one, so I feel pretty comfortable diving into this one a little bit. It was interesting on three levels. Jay-Z being on pretty much every song. A lot of sounds and voices, whether it's Farrakhan or whoever else he had playing on there, just drive the album as much as the verses, and you have verses layered in between. And, you know, fairly short in terms of runtime too, which I always like. So
yeah,
a lot of soundscapes on this one as much as verses, and there were some great verses on here, a lot of religion. You of course had the song on the back end, which was either a tribute to Kobe or written on the night of Kobe, that I thought was one of the best tracks on the album. You had a Rihanna sample in there that is just like over the top, like it just dominates that song. So overall, I love this one. 40 minutes, like I said, I love that length. I thought he came in pretty strong. I read a couple reviews that didn't love how Jay was as prominent on there as he was, but I actually thought it worked well hearing them go back and forth. But in many ways,
thank you.
This was almost like a, you know, we were all wondering like, oh, is there ever going to be a second Watch the Throne? And obviously Jay and Kanye have had their follow-up, but this was like Jay and Jay's Watch the Throne almost. Like, I don't know if he's going to get that kind of regard when it's all said and done, but hearing those two go back and forth and trade bars and rap over these different concepts was pretty much what Kanye and Jay-Z did 10 years ago. And that album was a lot better and it has legendary status, and I don't think this one will ever get there, but this is like Jay's second attempt at a Watch the Throne. I don't think we'll hear another one with Kanye.
I think everybody can like pretty much hang that up. And honestly, I don't even know if I would want another Watch the Throne, because I just don't think their chemistry would be there.
Yeah.
But as far as Jay Electronica's album, I absolutely love. I love that album. And you know, a lot of people were saying that Jay-Z being on the album so much was kind of like a cheat code, which I kind of agree with, but at the same time, they complemented each other so well, so I really don't have an issue with what I heard. And to be honest, I think that, you know, having Jay Electronica on the album, you know, with this caliber of, you know, rhyming, it kind of made Jay-Z step up. You know, we've heard plenty of Jay-Z songs where it's kind of sort of like, oh, okay, you know, he sounds a little aged.
Yeah, he's just stopping in.
With this project, he was incredible. Like every song he was on, he was you know, giving us bars. So I definitely appreciated this project.
And Jay-Z's over 50 now, right? I think Dragonfly Jones commented on this, the fact that there's probably never been a rapper before, now that we're talking about like 40, 50 years of hip hop, that's rapping at this level at 50 years old plus. It set a standard for longevity that everyone's going to have to try to catch up to at this point. And we keep wondering, when's the end going to be? When's the end going to be? And there was a different content here. There was another step in terms of that progression. If can I say Hotep J? That's kind of what we're stepping into here.
Yeah, you know.
To some degree. But anyway, he was awesome on here. I do find it interesting that he's had a lot of underlings over the years, whether it be J. Cole, Kanye certainly. And, you know, he did kind of take the stab with Kanye, but Kanye was about 10 years into his career at that point. There's never been a co-sign like this. Like, I'm going to come on your first album and be on every single song.
Yeah.
Like, what's that say to you that he took that leap with him here? Was it just the moment was right?
I honestly think the moment was just right. Like, I believe they're friends in real life. So him agreeing to be on the project that's not a shocker to me. I'm interested to see how the conversation went. If, you know, Jay Electronica was like, you know, if I'm going to do this project, I need you to jump on it with me. Or if Jay-Z was like, you know, I love all these songs, let me jump on it with you. So I'm curious to see what that was like, because again, Jay-Z doesn't normally jump on full projects with anybody unless, you know, it's already established. But again, Jay Electronica, even though he didn't have any projects out, he's very much well respected in the rap community. He has been for years, so I'm glad now he has something to show for it. But he's definitely been in the forefront for years, you know, people just waiting on an album for him, from him. And it kind of made me think about, like, what if 3000, you know, kind of took a stab at it? Because I read plenty of interviews saying that he was kind of nervous to, you know, jump out there at his age and in this climate and landscape of music, specifically rap music, how he would fit in. But I think, you know, Jay Electronica and Jay-Z definitely put together a project that anybody at that age would be like, you know what, I could do this. I could live in this space within rap. So, you know, I definitely approve.
Andre could do what Jay-Z's done, and Jay gets a ton for, and we talked about 444 way back and how awesome of a moment, but that was a spur of the moment inspiration, it feels like, that launched that album. And if we're looking back before that, like, we're going back into the early part of the decade to find Jay's first release, he's gotten by now by driving up the talent that's under him, doing his business interests and staying relevant with appearances and features and all that other kind of thing. And he's been successful in doing that. 444 was definitely the huge moment in between. And I don't know if Andre could muster up something like that at this point. I don't know if the inspiration's really there. The other thing I was trying to think of was the Beyonce release. And, you know, Beyonce definitely drove that album, but he was able to kind of mesh in between and have some good moments there. Those things have kept Jay going at a pretty high level toward 50. I do wonder for Andre, it probably would, and this is something we've been dreaming about, that probably we shouldn't get our hopes up for, but it would probably take something like an Outkast reunion to get him back out there on that scale. I mean, he's been visible. Like, he was on Kid Cudi's album in 2016, a couple of tracks on there. He's done different features, not as frequently as Jay. But I definitely think for him to get back out there full scale as an artist, it would take that kind of occasion, because, you know, they would both take that extremely seriously. Like, you know, that's the kind, you need a big moment of inspiration to be off as far as he has and do something and coming back to something that's worth doing. You know what I mean? Like, it can't be anything small. I don't think he could carry his own album. Has he ever released like his own full length album? I know Big Boy's done it a couple times.
So, I think a lot of people, they, take The Love Below as his solo project. And ironically enough, you saying Outkast would be the only way that he would go back in. But I honestly think I think both of them are against any new Outkast music because of how well they closed everything up with the Speaker Box Love Below. Like, I don't think they would want to go back into that legacy and risk, you know, tarnishing their flawless discography. So
you never know, though,
to bring Erykah Badu back into the conversation. I would be interested to see an Erykah Badu Andre 3000 joint project. Only because I don't know if you've heard the song Hello by Erykah Badu. I don't know if you've heard that. Yeah, I love that track, man. Like, that's such a great record. So I would be interested in that. I could probably see that before I see another Outkast album. Yeah.
There's always an occasion. You never know what's going to happen, and it won't be soon. But I think a Tribe Called Quest, they were done. They were all set with each other.
This is true.
And there were definitely some very unique circumstances that brought them back together. You know, all of them seeing Fife Dog's Time Coming. But
yeah. That's true.
You know, that's something that's always possible. Some kind of reunion could be spurred by some spur of the moment thing. If you had to, if you had to ask me, will there ever be an Outkast album? I just think their lifespan, the hunger for it among their fan base and general music fans in general, I think there will be something eventually. I don't think it'll be anytime soon.
Yeah.
But I think all the things are there to make it happen. Big Boy being so active in music still. Andre dipping his toe in every once in a while. And, you know, the chemistry will always be there between those two. Like, that won't be hard to rekindle.
For sure. Yeah, absolutely. I hope so.
All right, Jamel, great talking to you every week here on Dome Theory. This is our Music Monday. We get into some contemporary music, what we've been listening to, some business, of course. That's Jamel's specialty, so I love talking to him about that. You can follow him at Jamel Smith. as he continues to roll out Spencer Smith's album. What's the release date that you guys are planning?
April 17th is when everything comes out. So, yeah.
Perfect.
April 17th.
Yeah, lots of stuff's getting disrupted, but that's probably going to roll out nice and smoothly. Like we said, the way music is today, it's easy to do that with the power of the internet, and there's probably a bigger audience than ever for it. So this is, you know, for a lot of different things, a blessing in disguise. It's a huge tragedy for a lot of people,
for sure.
But there's many different angles you can look at it from and, you know, try to make the most of it. So everybody enjoy. Appreciate you all listening. If you could subscribe, if you could rate, that would be huge. And we'll talk to you again next week, Mel.